In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Well, as the church prepares to remember Reformation Day on Saturday, this weekend, we thought it fitting to go back to the central theme of the Reformation, as we have kind of leading up to this Reformation celebration. The central theme for Luther was always the forgiveness of sins, and some people consider that passé today. I mean, the forgiveness of sins is great. It's great for someone who's first becoming a Christian. Why would someone like this reformer in the 16th century, Martin Luther, set it so centrally in all of his teaching, his way of reading the entire Bible? Dr. Ben Mays joins us for a conversation on Martin Luther and the forgiveness of sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Now, stay tuned, because later in this hour, we're going to give away two copies of the very latest edition, English edition, the very latest volume in Luther's works in English, to callers with questions or comments about Martin Luther on the forgiveness of sins. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Ben Mays is managing editor for the new series of Luther's works, American Edition, published by Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Mays, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey there, Todd.
Well, Luther was great, I mean, in his time, but someone must ask, why should I bother to read a 16th century theologian here in the 21st century?
Well, I think there are two reasons that people continue to find Luther to be such a relevant thinker and writer even now. I think, first of all, the reason is he's always dealing with a timeless subject, a subject with which we are all familiar. That subject is human sin and corruption. We all by nature are fallen creatures, and besides that, we have our conscience that are speaking to us and accusing us of our sins very often. Other times we just see the injustice in life. All of these sorts of human predicament matters, Luther is constantly talking about it. It's something that resonates with all of us. We can all hone in on that, and we can all find that to be very relevant. Second, he is always dealing with another timeless subject, one which is familiar to Christians, and that's God's Word. Within God's Word, there are then many topics of perennial interest, like freedom, conscience, marriage, truth, death, life after death, Christ the Son of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, the sacraments, and of course the forgiveness of sins. To the extent that people are interested in what God says and does, they will be interested in what Luther has to say. I think that's what really makes him sound so contemporary and so relevant.
How big an issue for Luther was the forgiveness of sins, especially during this era of the medieval Roman Catholic Church?
It was a very important issue. You may remember that Luther entered the monastery as a monk in order to try to find peace with God, because he wanted to know and have some kind of certainty that he could have forgiveness of sins, that what he was doing was enough. But eventually, by the time that 1517 had come around, Luther, on October 31st, posted 95 theses about indulgences, and he, especially in these 95 theses, was dealing with the issue of forgiveness. Now, indulgences were a way to purchase time off of purgatory. Let me just read a couple of these 95 theses. I think it's very interesting how much that really has to do with forgiveness. At the very first of the 95 Theses, Luther writes, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he wanted the entire life of believers to be one of repentance." The second thesis, "This word cannot be understood as referring to the sacrament of penance, that is, the practice of confession and absolution, but then also satisfaction, doing good works to try to make up for your sin." Luther continues, "That is, confession and satisfaction as administered by priests." Then skipping down a ways, thesis 36, Luther writes, "Any truly repentant Christian has a right to full remission of penalty and guilt, even without indulgence letters." So here again we see the issue of forgiveness of sins coming right into the center of the fray right at the beginning of the Reformation on October 31st, 1517. He also then says, concludes by talking about what the true treasure of the Church is, and he says that that is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. That's thesis 62. So all of this has to do with confession, has to do with the imposition of penalties, which get carried over out of this life into purgatory. Now, the 95 Theses are not a full-out attack on the medieval system of penance, and certainly not a full-out attack on the Roman Catholic Church. Instead, they just kind of undermine indulgences in a clever way. But purgatory, the power of the Pope, etc., all those things are still retained.
It really was for Luther at that time such a modest proposal that people are sometimes shocked to learn that if you read what else Luther is writing at the time, he is smack dab in the middle of medieval Roman Catholicism and is a son of the Church in almost every single respect, with the exception of his objection over indulgences.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot to that, especially when Luther looks back on his life at this time. He says, "Yeah, I was still stuck in the midst of darkness." But even here in the 95 Theses, you see, Luther is quite witty. He says that he wants to uphold the honor due to the Pope against what he calls slander, but he says that the unbridled preaching of indulgences makes this difficult. And then he goes on, however, to list examples of that slander in quite a lot of detail in Theses 82 through 89. So it's almost like an underhanded way of poking a little bit at the Pope, I think. So you do kind of see that he's kind of becoming more feisty at that time, and I'm sure that's part of what landed him in such public spotlight at that time. But he had a lot to oppose. So.
What was the? I mean, this is a huge question. But mm-hmm. the whole system of merit for salvation, the system mm-hmm. of penance, and how indulgences all fit into that. Can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what it was, the system that the medieval Roman Catholicism was operating with that sparked Luther's objections, eventually led to him seeing ever clearer and more clearly the centrality of the forgiveness of sins?
Yeah. Well, at the time, to make it very practical, all laity had to confess their sins to a priest and receive communion once a year. That confess part meant a full and complete listing of their sins to their priest, or in some cities like Nuremberg, to a monk. That would be considered sufficient in some places. But there was a contradiction in how this was seen within the Roman Catholic Church at the time. On the one hand, some aspects of the system of penance or of the sacrament of confession were too strict, some were too lax. On the one hand, some people thought that forgiveness depends on your contrition, that is, on being truly sorry for your sins, and you have to be perfectly sorry for your sins or else your forgiveness is completely uncertain. The priest's job in that case was to judge whether you're sorry enough and then to impose works of satisfaction to pay for the temporal penalties that you owe. So they might say, okay, the guilt is forgiven, but you still got to pay. You still got to pay for your sins, and if you don't pay for it here, you're going to suffer in purgatory for years on end. These penalties, if they lasted past your death, you had to suffer them away in purgatory. So on this side, the kind of strict side, you have this focus on a penitent heart, on being truly repentant, and that's what your certainty of your forgiveness was based on. Luther was tormented by this. That's part of what drove him into the monastery. Now, on the other hand, you had a number of people that thought that the absolution that was pronounced by the priest was the main thing, and that would forgive your sins just by the priest doing the work. and you wouldn't even have to have any faith or a good heart at all. And so here there was more of a focus on the certainty of absolution, but it ended up with people basically saying, I can just do whatever I want, and I'll go to confession, and I'll have my sins forgiven, and I really don't have to be sorry for my sins, at least not too sorry. So Luther is reacting against both of these sides. And especially Luther is reacting against the general issue of certainty. Namely, in general, for the Roman Catholic Christian during the Middle Ages, there was no certainty that after absolution, I am right with God. One of Luther's opponents, Cardinal Cajetan, wrote, "Everyone remains in doubt in this life, in accord with the ordinary norm that one does not know whether he is in God's grace or not, nor is anyone certain he is sufficiently disposed through the grace of God granted through absolution." So that's all of the kind of things that that Luther was facing.
And then with only about 30 seconds, how did indulgences, the sale of indulgences, fit into that system and Luther's objection? About 30 seconds.
The indulgences then would take off time in purgatory. And in the popular mind, in the mind of a lot of lay people, that was like buying your forgiveness, and then you just didn't have to worry about it. And it turned into a cause for many people to sin and then be able to just buy themselves out of that problem.
We're talking about Martin Luther on forgiveness. Dr. Ben Mays is our guest, managing editor for the new series of Luther's Works American Edition, published by Concordia Publishing House. A little bit later in our conversation, we're going to give away two copies of the latest volume in Luther's Works American Edition. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. When we come back, the Reformation certainly began with the posting of the 95 Theses, but it was merely the beginning. Much happened afterwards. Much became much more clear to Luther and the other reformers. We're going to talk about Luther's continued Reformation, where he began to find in the Roman Catholic system of merit problems even bigger than indulgences. But it's well begun is half done, they say. He did begin to understand repentance, that the life of the Christian should be one of daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Stay tuned. Dr. Ben Mays is our guest.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out, get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar too. Go to theclcc.org.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the hymn Jerusalem the Golden with Dr. Arthur Jest. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the forgiveness of sins in the writings and thought of 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Dr. Ben Mays is our guest. Folks, you can help support Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio, by joining our monthly or annual giving program. We call it the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Reformation Club members receive premiums like T-shirts, books, transcripts. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the photo of Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Here's an email from John in Akron, Ohio, and he asks, how would your guest view Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where the writer of the Hebrews talks about not again laying a foundation of repentance and things like this? I imagine his question has something to do with the fact that these are preliminary things. The forgiveness of sins hardly has a place as central in the Christian teaching. That's just preliminary knowledge, preliminary kind of entrance level stuff. How would you respond?
Not having studied that passage real recently, I would first study that passage and find out what the writer to the Hebrews really means there. But I think it's quite clear from all through the Gospels, as well as from St. Paul's epistles, that the forgiveness of sins is a central issue, and it comes up over and over again. And especially you see it in the Gospel of John, and at the end of John, where Jesus makes a very clear point after he rises from the dead of speaking to his apostles and giving them the power to forgive sins and to retain sins. It's right there at the climax of the gospel. So that's how I would respond. It's central to Jesus.
You mentioned before that at the time of the Reformation, the initial events were, of course, indulgences, Luther's debate over that, over the system of penance and whatnot. What other issues came to the fore, again, touching upon the forgiveness of sins for the Reformers and for Luther himself?
Well, especially the whole issue of the forgiveness of sins centers in the medieval period was known as the sacrament of penance or the sacrament of confession. And for the Lutherans was sometimes considered as a sacrament in the broad sense, other times not, but it was always considered a means of grace. And by that I'm talking about confession and especially absolution. Luther responds to the whole system of repentance that had come before him, and on the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he places his primary focus on the certainty of the word of the gospel in absolution, that God says to me, I forgive you. But he also has a focus on the necessity of receiving that absolution in faith. And this allows certainty, and that's really what Luther was looking for when he went to the monastery. He was looking for certainty that God, that he has a gracious God. This receiving the absolution in faith gives certainty because faith is not a work of man. It is a gift of God. Christopher Brown, who is the general editor for our series of Luther's works, American Edition, he put this very well. He said, "The absolution was Christ's own authoritative word, spoken by a human being by Christ's mandate, and received as the promises of the gospel must always be, according to Luther, by faith alone."
Is this why Lutherans even today continue, who wish to retain the name Lutheran, continue Sunday by Sunday, either privately or corporately, to feature confession of sins and absolution prominently in or around Sunday worship?
I think so. You certainly see this in the Lutheran confessional documents, such as the Augsburg Confession. There it says very clearly in Article 11, "Our churches teach that private absolution should be retained in the churches, although listing all sins is not necessary for confession." That's a big difference, by the way, from the Roman Catholic system that went before. And by 1530, nearly all Lutheran churches were actually requiring private confession and absolution. For example, in Augsburg Confession, Article 25, "Confession in the churches is not abolished among us. The body of the Lord is not usually given to those who have not been examined and absolved." But many places, like Nuremberg, for example, also offered general confession and absolution, so that wasn't ever a problem there. So you see this, that it, that the emphasis on private confession was very strong back in Luther's time because of the pastoral benefit that people can have individual forgiveness of their sins. And it is important to remember that necessity of listing all your sins was not there. You could be forgiven even if you had not told your pastor every single sin, and that gave a lot of comfort to people. So, yeah, I do think that that's the reason why even today, even though there's many congregations where private confession isn't really used so much, nevertheless, the confession of sins, the forgiveness of sins is central, and it features very prominently in our liturgy.
But what does it say about us, Dr. Mays, that there are churches that claim the heritage, the theological ancestry of the Lutheran Reformation, and have abandoned, by and large, not only private, but also even corporate confession and absolution?
Boy, I tell you, it's a sad situation. For Luther, this was so central that people need to hear their pastor saying, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. This kind of certainty is necessary for people. Now, what it does say to me is that perhaps there's not a recognition in some of these congregations that people really need to have their sins forgiven. Maybe, you know, in a number of his sermons that are in this volume 69, Luther talks about two kinds of sin. There's one kind which is sin that's lying in wait. That's a sin where you don't really know that it's there. You don't really know that you're a sinner. But then sometimes by being confronted by the law, it comes to life. It hurts your conscience. It continually accuses you. And that's what Luther calls a real sin, or a sin that's really alive. And that's a situation where especially you need that absolution, that forgiveness of sins. So it tells me that if there's a congregation that's not very concerned in forgiving people's sins and using the confession of sins and the forgiveness of sins, that maybe they've got their sins are lying in wait. They don't feel the need for it.
Why is Concordia Publishing House publishing more of Luther?
Well, there's so much worthy writings by Luther that have not yet been published. We've got only about one-third of his writings that have been translated into English, at least in the old 55 volumes of the American edition. So there's a whole lot out there. Besides that, a number of texts which were widely read at Luther's time have never been translated into English. So to see Luther as his contemporaries saw him, we need to have other texts translated for us to read, and that's what we're doing here right now. Beyond that, there are a number of texts that have been very significant for the history of the Lutheran Church that have never been translated, one of those being Luther's sermon on the proper distinction of law and gospel, which was so important for C.F.W. Walther. There's just a whole lot more out there, and it's wonderful to be able to get this translated with our team of translators and scholars, and under the great editing of Dr. Christopher Brown, to be able to bring all of this out to the public.
Then with only about 30 seconds, what else would the reader find in the latest volume of Luther's works, volume 69? About 30 seconds.
We've got Luther's commentary on John 17, which he called in one place his best book aside from his translation of the Bible. Beyond that, we have his sermons on John 18 through 20, which is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as well as his resurrection. That will be wonderful material come Lent. And then we've got every sermon that we could find by Luther on John 20, 19 through 23, which is where Jesus gives the keys to the apostles and tells them to go and forgive sins and to retain sins. So there's a lot here.
Folks, you can purchase Luther's works by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at cph.org. Luther's Works, published by Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Ben Mays is managing editor for the new series of Luther's Works, American Edition, published by Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Mays, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're giving away the latest volume of Luther's Works to callers 6 and 12. So here are our numbers. Call now. Callers 6 and 12 will get a copy of the latest volume of Luther's Works, American Edition, volume 69, the sermons on the Gospel of St. John, chapters 17 through 21, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Call now, giving away those copies to callers 6 and 12. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll spend some time with Dr. Arthur Just studying the hymn In Advance of All Saints, Jerusalem the Golden. It promises to be an excellent conversation and an excellent study of this hymn for all saints. The forgiveness of sins remains central. It remains at the very heart and center of Reformation theology because it's at the heart and center of God's Word, Holy Scripture. And it's at the heart and center of God's Word, Holy Scripture, because the forgiveness of sins is what Jesus, the heart and center of Scripture, is all about. His death, His resurrection, for our forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.